it's fine. It hits it. It's like, if I really need the popcorn.
Yeah. That was all, yeah. They're not like, okay. picky. So they'll eat. They were munching on some really stale honeycomb the other day. They were, for the first time, they discovered it. It's like, okay. Honeycomb does taste good, yeah. But if it wasn't stale, it'd be a lot better.
It's like, this could be better.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 343 of On the Rocks, the show that pairs video games and other stuff with their perfect drink. This is your host Kyle, and joining me today is my devilishly dissenting dude, Dave. It was originally going to be Duo, but I didn't really want to come up with a new one. Today's main topic, we are reviewing Cult of the Lamb, and then we're going to finish up the episode by talking about our favorite examples of the trope, art style dissonance. And as always, you can email us at podcastotr@gmail.com if you guys have any ideas for future drink pop culture pairings, as well as questions, thoughts about our show. But first, Dave, how's it going?
Oh, it's not too bad. I've actually played a lot of video games.
Really? I thought you were going to say bupkis. Just like nothing.
we'll get to this, but you are on vacation for a week.
Yeah.
And then my family was on vacation.
Oh yeah, you took a long weekend, right?
Yeah, and so like all my friends are gone, and then my family was gone, so I had the house to myself and my cat, and so I watched baseball and played video games.
Nice.
So I played a bunch of Diablo 2, a bunch of Hot Wheels Unleashed, which I guess I have technically beat, though I've not platinum that game yet, and that's gonna be a hard platinum.
Andy was talking about those Unleashed.
Mm-hmm. The Unleashed times are going to, it's going to be, I got a lot of them, but there's a few that are a bitch. So I'm taking a break from it. I'm going to go back to it.
Anytime the spider shoots web, I can't avoid it. And it was annoying me. It was annoying me in the, the first third of that game. I was I can't not get hit by it.
It's so hard. So maybe someday I'll do that.
Yeah.
If I can get those times, because cool, it's only the time challenges now. Because I got all the races done, and I got all the Unleashed goals for those. Because those are basically just coming
just
first.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a very good time with that game. I did play Cult of the Lamb. Obviously, I started it. You texted me. While you're on vacation, you're like, hey, you're gonna try this? And I was like, yeah, maybe. I'm playing Diablo. And then I was like, I should probably check it out. And then I just got addicted.
Yeah, you watched me play it that one night.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that looks fine. And then I was like, I'll save it. And then I started playing it Saturday night. And I was like, it started at 10. And then it was 2 in the morning. I was like, I gotta go to bed. And so I got up on Sunday. And I was like, okay, I'm doing this again. Yeah. And I played all day Sunday and just had baseball on the other TV. I also played... Midnight Fight Express.
Yeah.
I was playing that last night a little.
It's pretty cool.
It is. I am stuck on the Rat King at the moment.
Are you serious?
I can't beat him.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't gotten him to yet.
Oh, okay.
I saw that he exists.
Spikes.
I
right there.
I haven't looked at review points. I just saw the scores and they said 8.
You told me. I mean, I'm having fun with it.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure
that'll be our next review.
A 9 or 10.
I don't know. I have some thoughts on why it might not be a 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might get repetitive.
I like that you can turn off the dialogue, which I think is hilarious.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I didn't
poke through any options.
I think in the menu options, you can turn off the dialogue, which I'm like, maybe I will. Because it's almost like they're trying to make it more substantial than it honestly really is. I don't need the drone talking to me.
I'm intrigued.
Every room.
You know? I just had the... I just finished the volume session. My TV and I was listening to the Little League World Series.
Oh, really? I was going to say the music and
Midnight
Fight Express is cool.
Yeah.
It's bumping.
But anyways, we will probably talk about that in the near future.
Yeah.
I'm thinking. But yeah, Cold and Lamb. Also been playing Retroid, but you don't need to hear about that. I got past this dumb part in Golden Sun that I've been stuck on forever. And it turned out that I just needed, like, I was in the right spot and right place. There's just like this little ledge I could jump across, and I just did not see it for some reason. And I was pissed. I've been stuck on that for like 2 weeks.
I think
I just kept on like continually going back to it, but then like, man, going away.
What's funny about anything you probably can play on the Retroid is there's got to be millions of guides online for Golden
Sun. Oh, yeah, but I actually ended up looking at a guide because I was like, I've been stuck on this forever. And I was like, and they're like, you're at the right spot. And I was like, what the hell am I missing?
That's how I was able to beat that Beauty and the Beast game, because the second to last level is a straight up maze.
I had to watch a YouTube video and the guy was like, bloop. And I was like, you son of a fucking bitch.
So it wasn't even a boss or any fight or anything?
No, it was just a little ledge that I did not see. And there was a point earlier in the game where I got stuck on the very same kind of thing where I didn't realize it was something I could hop across.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, annoying.
But when you get past those parts, it's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm back on the train again. It's also picked up where I'm like, okay, I'm kind of getting into this game now. So I've been playing that too. But
yeah.
But Cold and Lamb, man. That took over for a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I play anything else. No. Oh, I started Forgotten City last night as well, which I've been meaning to do for a long time. I was going to delete it, but I was like, no, I still want
to
play this.
Oh, yeah. I like the intro to it. And I've heard, because it feels like it's a Skyrim light, but I've heard that
it started off as a Skyrim mod.
Yeah. I've heard it's very short.
Yeah, I've heard it's
comparatively,
like
10 hours maybe or something.
I've heard it's less than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because like hearing that, that's cool. I checked that one out too.
Yeah, I'll probably continue playing it.
But
yeah, what's up, Kyle? What have you been doing?
Not a ton gaming wise outside of Cult of the Lamb. I put a bunch of hours before I left on vacation. I think I had beaten the first three. I beat the first three guy areas in like 2 days or something.
Nice.
And then went on vacation, came back, marathon the crap out of it over the weekend, to the point where I think I wasn't sure if it was I got a headache because I played it so much or because I went an entire week without playing video games, and then I went back into playing video games, and I'm like, I'm not blinking. Yeah. But yeah, so played a lot of that. But then after I finished that up, minus one trophy, which we'll get into.
We'll get into that.
I played the crap out of Little Orpheus, which is I re-upped because I bought a new phone. I got 3 months of Apple Arcade. So I decided to activate that as soon as I beat Cult of the Lamb. So like end of November is when it's going to end. So I got to get my money's worth.
Yeah.
And so I booted up Little Orpheus, which I've seen a lot of great things on. It's coming to consoles in a few weeks, I think. It's an awesome little game. It is not overly stimulating as far as puzzles and like it's not going to challenge you mentally, but it is basically a amazingly acted and written kind of platformer walking sim where you're running from things, you're stealthing a little bit, you're moving boxes and getting to platforms and stuff. But meanwhile, it's these two characters that are having a conversation for like the 3 hours that the game is. And it's funny and
very charming.
Beautiful. And the music's great. Huh. It's cool. As far as what the console version is going to be like, I imagine it's going to be a lot nicer looking and trophies will be up in the air. I think there's a lot of collectibles that I missed out on, but besides that, it doesn't seem like it would be too hard unless there's a speedrun trophy, which would be kind of mean, but who knows. But yeah, Little Orpheus is cool and a game that I'd never heard of until I started looking up Apple Arcade games, I feel like a week ago. So
well, it's nice.
Weird. Yeah. And then, I checked out Midnight Fight Express a little earlier today, and it's cool.
Yeah, seems like it'll be fun, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
A full review or some kind of review at some point.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you, I'm going to humble brag real quick. Porch Rocker was this past weekend, and they have a 5K. So I did the 5K.
Kicked ass.
First time I've done a 5K since being injured. I did kick ass. I did it in 22 minutes, 18 seconds official time. I came in 60th out of 393.
Is that your best time?
That is my personal best.
Crazy.
But it's a very flat course that they did, so that's probably part of the reason
why. What was the one you did earlier this year?
Because that was also personal best.
Yes. And it was like 25 minutes, but there's a lot of hills.
There's
a lot of hills. So it's like,
but I feel like for every uphill, there's a downhill too. Yeah, exactly. So it's like flat courses are nice. But
I feel
like
if I had not gotten injured, I could have maybe done 20 minutes. But yeah, I was pumped and I'm still kind of pumped.
Well, also it probably was 10 degrees cooler too.
Oh yeah.
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 Which that's always nice when you're not just like dying.
But yeah, so that's I just want to humble brag real quick. Yeah.
Go for it.
Felt very good. Yeah.
That's the nice kind of humble brag. You don't want to, I don't care about your platinums or whatever. Just brag about how healthy you are.
Yeah, it feels good. I haven't been, you know, strained the Achilles and back at it already.
Yeah. Had you run any long distances since?
I've been practicing.
Yeah. But was this the first time you've run like
an actual 5K? Yes.
Distance.
And I wasn't, we were over here hanging out and Nathan was talking about the Porter Tracker 5K and I was like, I'm going to do it.
Did he do it?
No, he did not do it. He volunteered, though. I saw him at the end of that. He was hanging at medals because cool. He designed the t-shirt and medals that you get.
Yeah, we were still in. I think, or maybe that's the day. That's the day we were driving back.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we drove through the rain and then I saw that the Beyonders were rained out, which sucks.
A lot of those were. We were supposed to see Harry Potter that night.
It's still one.
The Cleveland Orchestra. Yes, but we had lawn tickets, so we didn't go. But then
they
evacuated the lawn.
Because Lisa's parents work at. Were like, people were separated. Like parties were separated because it was like half the lawn got to go in the pavilion, half the lawn had to leave.
They're offering free tickets for like another concert this season for anybody who had tickets. So
probably
pick something up, but there's nothing else. Like
I was like, there's how many more weeks of the season are there?
I don't think that many.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I got to talk to my parents about that actually. But anywho, hey me.
Tell me about Cult of the Lamb.
Cult of the Lamb. This is a, roguelike game developed by Massive Monster, published by Devolver Digital. The good old Devolver Digital. It was released on August 11th, year of our Lord, 2022, on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4 and 5, Xbox One and Xbox Series X and S, Windows and Mac.
Whoa.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was actually out on a Mac, so that's kind of
Mac getting
neat.
Some love.
You play as a lamb who is in some kind of like fantasy world and is ruled by these bishops who are basically gods, and they're basically eldritch monsters too. But they sacrifice you, they kill you, because there's a prophecy that they'll be like overthrown by a lamb, I guess. But they don't realize that the one who waits is a god that they basically overthrew as well. He resurrects you to be a prophet in his name and to kill those bishops and free him. So it's your goal in this game to build a cult who worships the one who waits. And overthrow these bishops and let your master free.
Mm.
I guess I should also say that even though this is a roguelike adventure game, I don't know why I didn't put this in here in my first paragraph. It's also a weird management sim.
Yeah, it is
an interesting mix.
It is a hybrid that doesn't sound like it should work, and it
may or may not. We'll find out soon.
Yeah, and but on paper, it is too. Game styles that I really love.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing's my favorite Switch game, and roguelikes are just my, I don't know, not my guilty pleasure, but I like love the crap out of them. And so, yeah. So you didn't play their other big game, The Adventure Pals, right?
No. I saw you play it, and that was
a really fun platformer. Which
I thought you were lukewarm on it for some reason.
No, I liked it. It's not the most memorable thing, but it is as far as mechanics go and how it feels to play. It's great, and the personality in it's great. I just was one of those games where when it was over, it was over.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's why.
It's not very deep, I guess.
Yeah, it's like fun while you play it, but then it's like okay, well.
But it had the funniest trailer.
Yes, I never heard the trailer.
Yeah.
You were very happy about trailer.
So great.
what are we drinking today, Kyle?
We're drinking something that you are calling the Ritual.
Yeah, or also don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
But I like the Ritual kind of better because it ties in with the gameplay.
Yeah. It is 1.5 shots of vodka. 1.5 shots of vodka. How much are those Kool-Aid packets?
Oh, like 40 cents.
No, I mean like how much? Like it's just a packet of Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it's like a...
But you said it's a single... A single dose? A single...
Well, it's supposed to go an entire pitcher.
Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, we're drinking an entire pitcher's worth of...
Yes, I told you. I didn't mean to.
But it said a cup of water to go with it. A cup isn't a pitcher. Right?
This is 0.16 ounces, so 4.5 grams.
It looks mini.
You're supposed to empty contents into a large plastic or glass pitcher. Add 1 cup sugar, 1 cup Splenda, blah, blah, blah. Add cold water. So, yeah, it's supposed to go in a pitcher, though.
Crap. How are we going to feel tomorrow? We're each... Dave put an entire packet into a single drink.
I think we'll be fine.
It is 1.5... It's basically 1.5 ounces of vodka and 1.5 ounces of Sprite. And then an entire pitcher's worth of Kool-Aid
which
powder.
Which is like a small packet. That's
oh my
40
God.
Cents at the store.
That's why it's opaque.
This is why my jaw hurts.
Yeah, this is why I like already have a headache.
Do you feel like your heart is like stopping? with that being said, I actually kind of like this drink. It's pretty good.
It's not a cost effective. I guess you did say, what, it's like 40 cents or something?
Yeah, these packets are only 40 cents. So
it's good. It's surprisingly...
It's like tart in a way. It's tart. We're using the Tropical Punch Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I guess use whatever Kool-Aid you desire, but...
I
wanted something that'd be red.
I don't know if it's the kind of Long Island iced tea effect where it doesn't taste like alcohol, but it's still dangerous, or if it's just like this should be a really intense tasting drink, but it's not.
Well, this is a good source of vitamin C, so you're welcome.
It's good though.
I like it.
It looks.
We'll have to
evil.
Try it. Maybe like maybe we'll pause this like before we go into the
next
the
one.
Topic.
We'll adjust it because we have an idea of how to adjust it to make it
maybe
less disgusting.
Maybe
sounding.
Like a quarter packet.
tonight's drinking game is anytime we say any form of the word cult, you can drink with us because it'll be
legitimate
polishing
question.
Off these things. These look
forms
straight
of cults,
up.
Would you say
evil group? Evil society. I don't know. Which is, cult is a negative thing. Like, there's no good cults, right?
Yeah, I'm probably not. Yeah, it's usually used in a negative sense.
Yeah, because like organization, you know. Yeah. So Dave.
So Kyle,
I've been talking about this game for a few weeks now, just like being ready for it. I planned all my games around it coming out, and then you kind of just stumbled upon it, and then
yeah, I mean,
we you didn't stumble upon it, but you
I'd known about it.
It caught you by surprise. Yeah. How did that go?
Well, like I said, I had nowhere to be, and I had baseball on, and I was like, you know what? I will try this since it'd probably make a good podcast topic, and you had already been playing it, and I watched you play a little bit of it. I was like, yeah, it looks fine. Yeah, it's addictive. It's very addictive.
And you like Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
I like Animal Crossing a lot.
You
like certain roguelikes, but
not all.
Yeah.
I liked Rogue Legacy.
Not that I
like Hades,
all,
and that might be it, really. I feel like there's at least one more in there. Anywho, we already kind of alluded to the mix of management sim and rogue-like game. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when you first start this game and they start telling you everything, like after the initial introduction, like cutscene, I guess you basically call it, this game seems like it would be a lot. Like, there's, like, a lot of systems, and, like, it'd become overwhelming. And I was like, when I first started playing, I was like, is this going to be a bit too much? But as you go along, it actually turns out it's all rather simple. It simplifies both the roguelike elements and the management sim elements. Like, I mean, there's still stuff to do and there's still a lot to do, but it's not as deep as you might think initially, which is a good thing, I think, in my opinion. Because it does front load a lot of direction and instruction. So don't be scared off by that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the game is deceptively complex, where you do feel very overwhelmed a lot. But then once you realize, like, once you look past all of the trees that you're upgrading, which there are several in this game.
Oh, yeah.
And how they're not mandatory to unlock in order to beat the game. They're just more, some of them will be more helpful than others. Once you notice that and realize that, then it becomes a lot less daunting. And once you learn how all the currencies work and all the unlockables and all the meters work.
And that's the thing. It's like there's all this stuff, but once you actually start playing the game, because like it keeps on stopping you like and telling you all this stuff. Once it actually kind of lets you start playing, you realize that progression is gated. So you're not using all that stuff right away anyways. So it's like you can focus on a few things at a time and you go on a run. In the roguelike part where you go in a dungeon and try to beat the boss or whatever, you'll get resources and things like that. And then you come back and manage your followers and your camp and all that. It's a lot more segmented and actually easy to do than I thought it would be initially.
Yeah. And I love, and I'm hoping this becomes more of a thing with roguelikes now, is each run really matters for the most part. Like, or it doesn't matter, but it is meaningful in that you're coming back with supplies to help your base. And the earliest game that I remember doing this was Rogue Legacy, where you build up the tower. And I think that was one of the main reasons why you liked it so much, because you were constantly making yourself better and future runs better.
No matter what happened, you always felt you're progressing. And this has the exact same.
This has that.
Actually,
and then,
more.
And then it also, not only does it help you do better in the dungeons, it brings back supplies to help your camp get better and you're recruiting followers. And that whole process, in my notes, I just have it as it is kind of the. Well, there's an adrenaline of unlocks in this game where you're unlocking, because there's just so many meters that you're building up, where some of your followers are praying to an altar, and once they fill that up, then you can unlock a new building. And most of the early game buildings help you do things, and then the next tier helps you do those things faster
it'll
more
make your
automated.
It'll automate stuff for you, so your followers will start doing things for you.
Yeah.
Instead of you having like,
and so instead of
farms,
instead of you planting the crops and doing all that, then your people can do it for you, which speeds up time. And there's a very cookie clicker. What style of game is that?
I don't think those are just. Those called clicker games?
Yeah, but there's idle games?
Idle games. Yes,
yeah.
There's an idle game. Yes, there is
where,
a very
where
idle
it's
game.
Like,
end game, I guess you can say. Because once you get everything done, you get your cult rolling.
Yeah.
Like, you just come back, collect your stuff, and go again.
Yeah.
If you want.
It,
you can talk
it doesn't become fully automated ever, but it becomes very close, which is nice. But, yeah, so those, that is the, it's the nobody saves the world kind of. I love checking off boxes of like upgrading stuff and fixing things and managing all the meters. And when there's that slow, like when there's that quick rush of just, you're constantly making progress on like something like Time on Frog Island, where the beginning of that game, I just felt like I wasn't doing anything. This one, you feel like you're, every time you pick up the game, you're doing something meaningful. But it is also the epitome of one of those games where it's just one more, like one more run, one more whatever, and you lose yourself in the game. And you can, like you said, you spend 4 hours that first night playing it, potentially, where there's just so much to do, where you can spend the entire time not fighting in a dungeon. You can be harvesting crops, setting up a farm, leveling up your followers by talking to them. And then you can run into a dungeon, you can do all this other stuff, and it gets really addicting because everything's very simplified and streamlined, where you're not, it's not like Stardew Valley where you're waiting an entire like week for your crop to grow or something. It's very sped up.
And there's ways to speed it up even from that.
Yeah,
it's interesting because it is also freeform though. Like buildings don't go in certain places. Like you have an area that you can just kind of customize to your will, which is kind of cool. It's like I liked designing my cult and their base. Also name your cult I think is really funny.
What'd you name your cult? I think mine cult of the ham because I just couldn't think of anything.
Mine
clever.
Was Isabel fans 2022 because Isabel was sitting in my lap when I started playing it, so I was like, this is for you baby girl.
Yeah, I needed something like I don't know, simple. But I
get it.
It took me way too long to come up with that one.
Yeah, so it's really fun like designing your base, but there is a, there are time limits. There's a day night cycle. Your cult members get hungry. They will also become sick. And there's also like a faith meter, like how much faith they have in you. And all those are kind of ticking down constantly unless you're doing actions to build them back up, which is whether it's like doing successful run in the dungeons. Sometimes it's like recruiting a new follower, because each follower has certain likes and dislikes that they appreciate. Holding rituals in your temple, which is a thing you can do once a day, and it'll boost their faith meter. Or declare new doctrines or things like that. Doctrines are rules that your cult follows and usually will be like a bonus to you if you do certain actions every day.
Choosing a doctrine, I think, is where the game really mixes up the gameplay from my game to your game.
There's a
weird currency that you unlock in this game that are fragments, stone fragments. I don't know if they have a tablet fragments. The three-part thing. Once you unlock three of them, you can unlock a new doctrine, which is basically there's six different
it's
fields.
Like hey, it's worship, work, thoughts on the afterlife, food, which food has
in personal possessions or something
like that.
But you choose one of those that you want your new doctrine to be based on, and there's you have four total of each one of those. And when you choose it, you can choose one of two options, and the other one goes away after you don't choose it. And usually it's a positive negative thing. Like, do you want to, like, a kind of a direction of where you want to put your.
Yeah, I mean, they both are potentially positive for your cult, or like your play style, actually a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
It's just how do you want to proceed, you know?
Yeah. I wish I would remember some of the choices that I remember the ones that I chose. I don't remember the ones that I didn't choose very often.
Yeah, it was, well,
besides the fishing one, which was very
boring. My favorite was one of the things you need to do is feed your cult. Like I said, there's a hunger meter. So you can cook food as much as you want. It's based on materials you get. But you can cook food based off like poop, grass, berries, and then like pumpkins and squash.
Dead
like
villagers.
Other stuff.
Dead
villagers. Yeah. So there's like all these things. One of the very early unlocks in your doctrine is that your followers can eat grass with no negative penalties.
It's very useful.
And it is the most useful, I think.
Yeah.
And like the other one that was with that was like your followers get a bit more boost in you, like faith in you, if you feed them. So it's like do you want a little boost in their faith, or do you want them to be able to eat grass? Literally the most abundant resource in that game.
So it's like
I'll totally have them eat grass with no negatives and just make this the entire time. And it worked really well.
Eventually you'll figure out which meter is the hardest to keep up, and you will kind of tailor your
spec that way
thing for that, where or if there's a resource that you are missing, like gold or wood or stone, you'll pick a thing to help you get that. The one that I do remember what I chose and what I didn't choose, and I think I chose wrong, potentially
chose
poorly, is there's a ritual where you can get money from your followers.
From your followers.
And you get a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's like
you can get a
200
lot.
Something coin or something, or 100 something
yeah.
coin.
Mm-hmm.
I think it
no,
probably depends on
it's
how
more
many
than
you
that.
Have. Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it probably depends on
so,
how many
so they just
you have,
give
I,
you they give you a lot of money.
They give you a lot of
they,
money, but
it lowers their
faith. But because I chose that.
Yeah.
Did you choose that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I would do that first, and then I would hold a sermon. And so they would just, the faith would come right back up.
I wasn't really worried about the faith. What I was worried about was the flip side of that, we didn't choose, was you can give them money. And I think you only give them like 25 coins, 50 coins, barely anything. Their faith in you shoots up like half a bar.
Oh,
like
see.
It is. It
I
is.
Never really needed. There's only twice where their faith was really low.
Well, not the me. Faith. Not their general faith, but their leveling.
We didn't even talk about the.
So you can level up your villagers, your followers, and it. I don't know if it really
leveling,
becomes.
Well, leveling up gives
you
those
little tablet stones, which you can unlock.
So you
want to
do it,
but I think leveling up gets more interesting when you get the building that is the demonic circle. Where you can call your followers into your game to help you mm-hmm. fight do the dungeons,
which
I
didn't take advantage of that as much as I should have.
Really, because at one point
at the end,
I had three of them.
Same,
which is cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So you can level them up and they get stronger in the dungeon. Mm-hmm. I don't know how incrementally stronger they get with each level, but I mean a level. 3 versus the level 1. I'm going to choose the level 3 person. So, but that got kind of addicting where I had like a ranged person. I think Nathan and my
your follower Nathan, yes.
Follower Nathan was an archer guy.
Yeah.
So I leveled him up and he
I had,
came on me.
I had a bomb guy I really liked. I had an archer like
and then the
one
sword.
Which, and I had the sword.
Yeah.
So I just had all three because they were all very nice.
Yeah.
It was a nice combo. But yeah, I didn't discover that until, or really start. I knew it was there, but I built it and I was like, I just never used it. But I didn't really start using it until the last bishop and the run where I, like a run or two before I started beating the last bishop and then the final boss of the game.
I think, so originally I had my negatives that there are too many systems in the game. There's too many things, but the fact that you don't really need to utilize all of them is nice, but it's also like
it was a
there's a lot of fluff in this game, but it's some people could get into it. Like
yeah.
I never even touched the missionary stuff. I didn't send.
Oh
people
really?
On
I sent
missions.
People out a lot.
Yeah, so I never even did that. What is that? I don't know if that's a negative or not because it's
See,
a thing that's
so.
Not necessary, but
yeah,
it's also
but it's catered to your playstyle.
Yeah,
and so
which
it,
is nice.
It was nice for me because I would send out somebody, like a. Devoted follower if I really need a resource, and then for people who were like heretics and speaking ill wills, I would send them out like on low chance missions like oh you died oh no
okay so
and so it was like a win-win for me.
Yeah,
and I didn't have to like put them in the stockades because I chose that perk where if they're no one's in jail you get like a faith boost every day.
Oh really?
Yeah, and so I chose that, so I didn't want to put anybody in jail, so I was like yeah, go on a mission for me. Oh,
did
no,
you,
that's so unfortunate.
Another doctrine that I chose, which I loved because I felt like I constantly had an old person in my
oh, were
flock.
You sacrificing people for...
It's like the one that I chose was if there's an old person in your group,
mm-hmm.
everyone gets a boost or something.
Oh, I don't think
but,
I chose that one.
But if like... I think the flip side, which I didn't choose, was if you sacrifice an old person, everyone gets a boost or something.
That's what I did.
Because it's like,
that's exactly what I did. I chose the sacrifice one because it's like, they're going to die anyways and they have no purpose because they stop doing chores for you.
The reason that I chose the old person one is because it just felt like something I didn't need to pay attention to.
Oh, yes.
But if I was in a dungeon and an old person died and then everyone's thing dropped, I would have been real mad. But if someone becomes old and everyone gets happy, it's like, that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a downside to that one. I think the upside was maybe smaller. But
yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
To go along with you, I also had my notes originally that I thought there were too many systems, but that evolved into I don't think those systems not explained well, but they just front load all of the explanations. And so it looks like it's more confusing than it is. And that's what my negative evolved into. I think there's actually, yes, there's a lot of systems and there's a lot of customization too. You can customize your followers. When they first join you, you can't do it afterwards, but you can do their look, their name. On PC, apparently, if you have play on Twitch, your Twitch followers can name your followers potentially, or
I think they're just named after the Twitch user. Handled, but still, I think the Twitch user can customize their own follower, which seems cool.
Console versions can't do that. We both played on PlayStation 5. So I appreciated how much there was, because yeah, there's a lot, but it is very much like tailored to, hey, here's, if you want to play this way or you think you want to play this way, go for it. And like, honestly, getting all the resources and completing everything, even if you like made a wrong choice with like buildings, for the most part, it's not very long till you can course correct and like, okay, like I actually don't use for you the missionary thing. Yeah. I should have done this other thing. It's, you know, like two more days and you can build that building. Like, it's not a long way.
Or I think you can destroy buildings too for their resources.
I think I never did it.
Yeah. And you can also just straight up move buildings, which is nice. Like, I wish Stardew Valley would do that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't know if they can or not.
Maybe now. It's been a while. I know he did a lot of updates to that game. Kyle, we have not talked about the actual gameplay of dungeon crawling at all.
Yeah, well, because it's so simple. And the runs, at least mine, I didn't play on the hardest difficulty because I didn't need that type of
experience. Yeah, I played on normal.
They were short, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, 10, 15 minute runs, like most, really.
Which is nice, yeah. But the big thing when it comes to this game is, yeah, it's roguelike where you're picking up tarot cards in the world. You get an option of two usually at the shop, and the tarot cards act like your perks in any other game, Hades or Binding of Isaac, where it is a stat boost or a new ability or something. The thing that makes this game different is you start off with unlike something like Hades where you can choose the weapon you start with. This one, it's randomized where you start with, which is kind of nice and kind of...
You get to try all the weapons, but after you're like in the third or fourth dungeon, it's like, okay, I know what weapons I want to use or what style. So it's like, I really wish I could use those.
Yeah. Luckily, if you make it further into the dungeon, you get at least one extra choice of weapon.
Always at least one opportunity. Usually
it's still randomized, and so you could go from a dagger to the claws and you're like, screw me.
No thanks.
But I mean, the runs are short and it's not like there's a stink, like a horrible weapon. They're horrible.
I don't like the claws. They're horrible
curses that I think are bad, but I didn't use the curses as much.
Like, yeah. I did, but it wasn't,
I used
the
them
weapon
when they were
good. Was way more important to me.
So there's a trophy to kill all of the bosses without taking damage. For some reason,
well, there's multiple trophies. It's one trophy per boss.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. At least two of the bosses I had runs that were tailored towards curses, and I pretty much two or three shot them.
Nice.
Like with the curses, it was.
Oh, see, for me,
it felt naughty.
I had the golden fleece and. My favorite weapon was the hammer.
Oh, is the golden fleece the one where
if you don't take
damage, you
kill
damage
things?
Boost?
Yeah, you get. Oh my god.
Oh, and then you get the daylight.
Yes.
Damage.
So I had the daylight 20% boost or whatever it was in damage. I had, I think it was like +6, and I had the hammer, so it's like already like a 16 damage to start with or something. Because yeah. Like, you can
the
upgrade like
hammer.
Yeah, because you can upgrade the weapons too and in your thing. Like, there's a lot of things you can upgrade in this game.
Yeah.
And so it was the third bishop, one shot at him.
Really? The third bishop was the hardest one for me.
Yeah. Yes. I was having, because it was, I kept on like redoing. I was like, I gotta just do this. Like, I gotta get the hammer on one of these runs and like just do this. And I got the hammer, I got the tarot card, and I had the golden fleece just like on point. And I just went pep, pep. And he was gone. Nice. And I was like,
it was
so good.
It was some mini boss. I think it was one of the witnesses where I felt like I broke the game with the hammer, where I hit the boss and their health shot down 75%. And it's usually one of those bosses where every
Oh, they
20%, they yes. leave, uh-huh. and then they come back, and they have to do 20% more, and yep. then they leave, they come back.
I hit him with it.
It went down to 20% health. He like left, and then I fought a bunch of enemies. He came back, and they left. Like, I didn't even get to like hurt him again. Like, it was like, it felt like really, like the game was catching up to the massive amount of damage I did to him.
That's funny.
In one hit. But yeah, the game has its glitches.
Wait. I want to talk about the actual gameplay real quick before we get to the glitches.
Oh,
because we didn't really talk about the actual gameplay.
Oh yeah, the dungeon crawling, it's so satisfying. Yeah, the combat's satisfying.
Mm-hmm. You can dodge roll. There's like a circle or whatever button for dodge roll. There's a button for attacking. There's a button for your magic, and that's really about it. But it's what it has there is very satisfying, as you just said. Mm-hmm. Especially when you start mixing in tarot cards that give you different abilities. The game's very responsive, so it doesn't feel like anything sluggish. Like, you move at a good clip. Enemies, you know, are on screen constantly. And for the most part, you can see them. And I'll get to some negatives with that later and some glitches with that later. But the progression from room to room in whatever dungeon feels good. There's a little mini map in the corner, so you can always see, like, where you've been and, like, hey, there's a door there I've not been through, so I can go back. Like, you're not, once you go into a different room, you're not gated from going back. You just have to finish the combat arena first. So it's very generous in allowing you to explore and like clear out every room and get whatever tarot cards or like bonus chests that there are, or just killing enemies and gathering resources. And once you clear out like a small section, it takes you out into a map, and you usually can choose between like 2 to 4 routes that you can go.
Oh yeah, that's a cool way to navigate.
And it'll show you like, hey, there's 4 rooms on this route, one of which has a follower, another which is like a combat or 2 of which are combat puzzles, another which has maybe health, and then this other route has only 3 rooms, but 2 of them are combat and one of them is resources. And so you can be like, okay, what do I need to do on my run this time? Am I going for the boss, so do I want like potentially more combat things so I can maybe get a better weapon, or am I just literally doing this run so I can get resources? So I want this one that has 2 resources and a follower and only 1 combat room.
Yeah.
It's a very laid out very easily and nicely. You just switch between the 4, and even when you go into one path, you're not locked in there. They have split paths, so you can like jump over to the second path if you want to.
Yeah.
Or stay in your course and just do your thing.
Yeah. But there are certain decisions where you are choosing not to hit a room.
Exactly.
And you can't go backwards.
And you cannot go backwards at all.
Yeah.
And you can't always jump a path. So it's like sometimes if you do choose that one path, like you're just going straight through for the most part.
Yeah.
But it is very nice because you can plan ahead a bit for what you want to do when you go back to the management section, or just if you're going through trying to get that perfect run maybe one shot a boss and all that kind of stuff.
That navigation is it's pretty satisfying and less stressful than other games that use that type of navigation. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's often used in survival games like Overland, it's very dire, where you're not stressed out about your decision. It's more like what you want,
yeah.
Less than what you're fearing.
Yes.
Like, you're not fearing the combat situations.
And that's actually,
you're more like,
what's more beneficial for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a very good point. I think that's part of the reason why I like this game more than some other roguelites. It's like, I don't feel like I am like all these choices
constantly
suck.
Being punished.
Yeah. And like just being punished for whatever I do. It's like, oh no, there is a lot of reward to
the game's trying to help you win.
Yeah.
I think.
And it feels good to play and all that. But, you know, the other thing we haven't talked about before we get to negatives and glitches and things, the graphics and the music.
Yeah.
The
music's great. It's by someone named Riverboy.
Let me tell you, I played, I think 90% of this game on mute.
Are you serious?
Oh, because I was watching baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was watching Guardians. I was watching the Padres a lot.
Music's really good. It's on Spotify. It's by a guy named Riverboy. And it is just, I don't even know how to really describe it. It's kind of techno, I don't know. It's just really,
yeah. What I listened to fits the game. I thought it was a little unmemorable, but also like I wasn't in the mood for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was better for me to have like baseball in the background and then just like focus on the game itself. Like, I don't know. It just worked out really well for me in that regard.
Did you have it? with no sounds at all?
Yeah, I mean, I muted my surround sound system, so there was like no sounds.
Do you still not hear any like your attacks or any like enemy attacks coming in or anything?
No.
Or when you get hit, because I feel like the tactile of you getting hit isn't always obvious.
You're hitting some of my niggas already.
So, and also your iframes, there's zero of them. Like, you can get hit by two attacks within like a second of each other. I mean, there's probably and not an iframe, but
yeah, no, that's
like when you get hit,
invincibility
frame.
The
invincibility frames of rolling is amazing.
I feel like there is an iframe for getting hit though, like, but it's very short.
Yeah, but in Binding of Isaac, like, if you get hit, you're blinking for like 2 seconds.
Yeah,
and you're safe. You're safe for a while. This is like hit. Like, you can
get messed up.
yeah,
you're not wrong. But I think there is an iframe, but it's like very short.
Yeah.
What did you think about the look of this game, Kyle?
I really liked it.
I like this game.
I think that the so there's four main areas, right? In the dungeons, at least.
Yeah, the dungeons. And if I guess you can count your cult, and then there's like other places.
I think that they could have mixed it up a little bit. Between the four areas, it kind of boils down to a color palette change.
Barely even that.
The last one has spiders. I think the second or third one has mushrooms in it. Mm-hmm. But besides that, the layouts of the dungeons are pretty much the same. You don't feel
there's
like
one that's kind of swampy.
But yeah, you don't
like,
feel
it's still like all forest.
But you're not like walking slower or anything.
Yeah.
They don't add.
It's
just enemy types and a color change.
But
I do love the 2D on 3D characters
2.5
in the 3D space, and it runs really well, and occasionally stuff in the foreground would kind of bother me, but that was just when I was angrily playing it when you were watching.
No, because I had some issues with losing enemies in the foreground stuff.
I never really ran into that where they needed to die.
I had that was a glitch. I mean, like, literally lost them just in the visual noise of the level.
Oh, because there's just a lot of
there's
grass
just a lot of stuff
and
going
buildings
on. Yeah, and so it's like, yeah. and there's not much color in that game. Like, it's not monotone necessarily, but it's like a lot of like black and red.
Well, everything in the level is kind of the same color.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of color in this game, but
yeah,
don't
yeah, but it's like all
stand out
exactly. Like, nothing really pops in a lot of ways. So I would just lose enemies in the level itself, and I thought, I was like, oh, that's not great though. Mm-hmm. I wish they did something a little more to make them visible.
Yeah,
pop a little more. But I don't know. I thought all the villagers and characters look great.
So cute.
And then especially when you can customize them, I think some of their variants are really fun.
Yeah.
The bishops are creepy.
Yeah.
Eldritch monster things. Like, the bosses are very creepy.
Yeah. The process of getting to the bosses was kind of weird to me, because
where
I'm so used
to
getting
the levels like four times.
Yeah. I thought that was a little.
I kinda liked that.
It was nice because the game is easy, so it made it a little.
Well, I thought it was tailored so you do more with the management side stuff. Like, it forces you to kind of engage with that, which you have to. I mean,
I guess I'm just used to roguelikes where it's like you get to the end and they're like, "You can't go on yet.
Yeah.
You can't go on yet. You have to do that three times." And I'm like, "Okay, now you can go
now
on.
Gone. You've done enough. You can go now."
Yeah, you've gotten here three times.
But you gotta defeat the bosses of each level. There's three followers of theirs you have to defeat, and then you can go on and fight the boss. Three? Four? I don't think I actually wrote that. I think it's just three.
Three, yeah.
Yeah. And then they become followers of yours, so it's really nice. And levels are gated by how many followers you have, which I never actually found that a problem. I never got to like level two.
You need
like five followers. Level
you're never
three, you need like 10 or something.
At a loss for followers.
Yeah,
they're
they throw them at you. Like, you'll get them throughout the levels. There's a little spider guy who eventually starts selling them to you, and honestly, very good prices.
For free
is really nice. There's always ways to get them. We didn't even talk about like the side quests in this game.
Yeah, there's a lot in this game.
Jesus, we won't get to that.
Yeah, to end it off with glitches, but I also wanted to ask you,
yes,
did you have a favorite side character?
Oh, whoever Midas was.
The
Yeah, just the guy who loved gold.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know why these people are lazy.
That,
like, what's going on?
So terrifying.
Because he turned all his followers into gold, and then, like, you have to sacrifice some of your followers for his side quest, which is all it is. Like, I beat his side quest in, what, 3 minutes? Because I was like, okay, here's a follower, here's a follower, here's a follower, here's a follower. Sacrifice them all, it's whatever. And then it was like, okay, you're done. I was like, oh, okay.
And I loved how everything he sold was at a premium.
Yeah.
It was.
Like, this guy loves gold.
Doesn't he laugh at you at one point? Because,
yes.
Like, you don't have enough.
Yep.
I don't remember the name, but I just love all of the NPCs in the lighthouse section that are just, like, chanting. They're like,
oh,
la,
yes.
La, 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 la. Like, they're singing whenever you, like, walk by them. I try to get some music to go on with them, but. Yeah, so no one speaks in this game. There's no spoken dialogue. It's all boops and beeps. But
I mean, you read the dialogue.
Yeah, you read the dialogue,
no, like,
but yeah.
Spoken dialogue.
So it's just sound effects, but some of them are pretty good. The sounds that they make.
I should have copied what I wrote to Nathan about some of my glitches, because I didn't write them all down.
Yeah, I didn't really run into any glitches besides the trophy that everyone's has an issue with. It's a follower skin not being obtainable, but besides that, the only other one that I really got was the mining facilities not disappearing when they were depleted. I would try to send a villager to mine rocks and they would say, there's no rocks to mine here. And I was like, I have a facility for it, but it just hadn't disappeared yet. And it wouldn't until I guess I could have deleted it, but I didn't really think about doing that.
I mean, you don't want to delete everything all the time. It's annoying. I had a bunch of glitches. I went through a lot.
Did your game crash at all?
Soft locked. It never actually crashed. Like, it never got booted to the PlayStation menu. But there were times where, and this actually mostly happened for me, and I'm not sure if it's because they didn't optimize, like, later in the game, or if it was just, like, how many hours I'd put into it at that point. But mostly in the third and fourth worlds. In the first two worlds, I had, like, no problems, no glitches. Besides
you're
one.
You're talking about dungeon stuff? Because
yeah.
I never ran into any glitches.
Okay, so in the third world, that was the first time where enemies would spawn outside of the zones that you could reach into. Like, it would be like in the background, and they wouldn't come into the playfield, and I couldn't hit them.
And you couldn't leave the.
Well, I had the ability to do the warp back to your.
But you couldn't go.
No, I couldn't
further
go
into the
doors.
Dungeon.
Yeah, so that was annoying. Fourth dungeon, I had to stop choosing any route that had a follower that you could rescue. Because it would always spawn this, like, green little monster that would immediately run to a corner and you would just hit forever and it wouldn't die. It was invincible.
And it was always in that
always
room?
Always with a follower.
Weird.
Yeah. So I had to stop doing that because I ruined, like, four runs. I was like, okay, so this is going to happen, like, every time, huh?
Man, that is. So occasionally I would run into enemies that would run around the outside of the level, but they would only be there after I killed everyone else. Like, I killed
everyone,
and then I'd see someone keep, like, around, like,
but
the chest would drop and I could
oh,
go
yeah,
through
see,
the door
for me they would spawn
or I could
couldn't.
Just or I could just hit them
yeah
in the
hit
outside
them.
But
at base sometimes, like, followers would just, like, spawn on top of each other, like, and they wouldn't move, and it was really weird. Quick negative also, by the way, this game is like I said, it's only a few buttons really to play. And so you hit X to talk to followers, but also interact with things. And sometimes there'd be, like, three followers and, like, a harvest bin all in the same
thing. Or in a dead body on the ground.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, I'm trying to, like, do this one thing, but I can't, like, quite select it.
Yeah.
That really annoyed me at certain points. Like, not enough. Like, it was just, like, a minor annoyance, but it happened enough times where I was like, okay, this is a little annoying.
It's, which, I mean, this game compared to the Adventure Pals, the amount of AI that needs to be programmed into all these followers, mm-hmm. Where, I mean, potentially, I guess you could have 200 of them in your place, interacting with each other, kind of bouncing off one of each other, having like interactions and relationships, and hating each other, and I can't even imagine what that is like. It's kind of crazy that they can integrate all that Twitch stuff.
Yeah.
And it works seamlessly. I'm wondering if they spent a lot more time with the PC version.
I think so.
Than the
console. They've already patched the PC version, so a lot of these glitches that we're going to talk about now have been patched out, unlike the console versions. But anyways, I had sermons where I would start a sermon and it would softlock, and I'd have to just go out to the PlayStation menu and like close the game and then go back in. But thankfully, this is like autosave before that. What else? I wish I had written down. Wait a minute. Let me go to my notes. I got out of them because I've been flicking through. There it is. Okay, I had a glitch where I couldn't pick anything up.
Really?
Yeah, it was really weird.
Like the
golden stuff that like automatically comes to you, like chopping stuff off.
Well, because you don't normally.
That stuff would all like still come to me, but like picking up tarot cards.
Because it's like you don't normally have to pick stuff up.
No, not really. But if I want a new weapon or a tarot card off the ground, just couldn't do it.
Weird.
Man.
Why are all these outlets giving this game like rave reviews?
I'll spoil my review now. I really like this game. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I
guess I didn't really
could be in my top three at the end of the year.
Yeah, I guess I don't really read or go through the fine details of these reviews.
Well,
but it's like eights and nines.
And some of these reviews,
like,
I've read some of them after I beat the game. I was like, okay, some of them allude to it. And I think some reviewers had the glitches, some didn't. Some people reviewed it on PC, and I think that's like a more stable version.
Yeah.
And some people did like on the Switch and PlayStation. And the Switch version apparently is real bad with glitches.
Surprising nobody.
Anyway, we'll leave it. It's kind of stuff like that. I told you like I had tasks from followers and to be like, hey, one of the tasks was like this follower wanted me to marry them. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm totally fine with that. And I'd go to do the ritual and it just wouldn't let me select a follower. Like they weren't available to be married for some reason. And so I failed that task and then they became a heretic. And they were like, oh, fuck you. And I was like, come on, man. Try.
I wanted to follow you, dude.
Yeah.
Or marry you, dude.
I had, I already said the followers do that. I'm not sure if this is a glitch or maybe I was doing something wrong. So I'm going to couch this a little bit. But I would tell followers to do certain things and they just wouldn't do it. Even though they were like in good standing with me, they had full faith and all that.
Did they say they wouldn't do it or did they,
no, it was
thing
like,
say the task was, is,
it was
there's
like,
no task available.
It was no task available, even though the task was available.
Yeah. I think that's a.
Because I would go to a different follower and be like, okay, you do it. And they would just go do it. So like, I'm not sure if that's like a follower thing, maybe something I missed, but I don't think so. But there are a lot of systems in this game.
There are so many systems. I've heard that with farms, at least, maybe you can only have one farmer per.
Oh, maybe that's what it was then.
Per like farming station.
Because I had two farms. Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe that was it.
I know you can have like multiple people
and
mining.
I guess
mining
that is a negative.
Wood
where it's
mining
like,
ore, but
once you really start getting into the game, those tutorials are like gone. You're like, I actually really kind of need to know this now. And then weirdly, also doesn't tell you everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't realize at first that the plots when you build a farmhouse, you have to build the farmhouse by the plots that you like have to harvest. Like it can't just be anywhere on the map.
Yeah.
So I had it a little farther away. Because I was like, oh, okay, it's aesthetically pleasing there. And also it's like the space I have available at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, actually I need to move this over so they can pick up the stuff and then put it in the ground.
It's nice that they let you move stuff around because a lot of the stuff that you unlock later in the game is stuff that should fit into what you made in previously. And it's like, who's going to make their farm with this, auto thing like in mind where it needs to be centered in the center because you get the most benefit from it.
Yep.
So, but it is nice that they let you move stuff around willy nilly for the most part. But yeah, I didn't run into quite the glitches you did, but
I never got a hard lock. I never got like fully booted from the, oh no, I did have one crash. I did actually have one crash.
So you're saying soft lock is when you have to close the game.
Yeah, like you don't have to turn off the console or anything.
But it doesn't give you a report where it's like, do you want to send this to PlayStation?
Yeah, but I did have one hard crash like that where I was like, hey, report this.
Wow.
That pissed me off because I was in the middle of a good run. Yeah, and It's like the trophy thing is really like, I'm kind of off my platinum quest. Like, I don't really need to platinum every game that I'm playing.
This one felt good.
But this one, I was like, I was really having fun. And like, I was like, I did enough for like, without even looking at the platinum guide originally, I was like, okay, like I'm getting a lot of trophies. I found out naturally that if you kill a boss without getting hit, that's a trophy. And so I was like, oh, that's cool. And then so I could beat the game. And I was looking at the trophy guy. I was like, oh, I'm not really far from any of this. And then can't get one follower skin.
It is a very pretty good overall trophy list. It's just unfortunate. Yeah, that one is glitched.
And that's
now
really unfortunate. So to go,
it's not anywhere near the Scott Pilgrim
thing.
And I feel like we've been doing that a lot lately where it's just like, oh man, we don't want a glitch trophy because we don't want to, like, I don't know, it's going to ruin the whole experience or something.
Yeah, and,
but
that's where I'm going to go with this, where that's not ruining my whole experience. I enjoyed everything I played overall. Like, I actually really recommend this game. If you're playing on PlayStation or a console, I'd maybe wait a month.
I don't know why.
Like wait a couple weeks just to get the glitches.
What's your experience?
I'm
like,
not even talking about the trophy.
Yeah.
I mean the actual just straight up glitch, which is a glitch, but the other like kind of game breaking glitches.
So when you told Nathan to hold off,
that was partially for the trophy for him.
Yeah, but I was also just like, really? Because
yeah,
I
think you
like
should
the
hold
trophy. Because I
no
my experience compared to yours.
Yeah,
mine sounded like flawless.
Had. Yeah,
which I'm like cool, but I'm trying to think of the last game where I really was absorbed into it, like you mentioned, where you're playing it. And then suddenly it's hours later and you're like, man, still playing this game.
Yeah, and it's like, I should go to bed. But
yeah.
Or
like,
I could do one
more
run.
And it's it's very... There's
only
a lot,
10 more minutes.
There's a lot to do in this game. It is simple. There are stuff that's unnecessary. And it can feel bloated at times and repetitive occasionally. Mm-hmm. But it is just, for the most part, very unique. And its look and its gameplay style, and it is once they get those glitches ironed out, it is going to be a very
nice.
Special game.
Yep.
That being said, unlike other roguelikes that I really love, it is not one that I will replay infinitely.
Not. Yeah.
But that's because it has this story kind of finality.
It does have a very definitive ending, which I want to ask you about in a second off air.
Yeah. But
you can still play afterwards, but it doesn't.
Yeah, and yeah, we could boot.
Kind of feels pointless.
Boot up,
I guess.
Boost up the difficulty, but it's like you're not booting it up to I don't know, speed run it. I guess.
Yeah, you're not
know.
Getting better items or stuff like for like Diablo wise, where if you boot up the kick up the difficulty, you get better drops or anything like that. You don't get any of that. I mean, the gameplay's
like
not like
after I beat
that absorbing enough. Like, it feels that good enough. Like, it feels good, but it's not like great enough where you're like, I want to kick up the difficulty because this game is so much fun to play in that regard.
Yeah. I don't know how to really explain why after I beat Hades, I was just like, I want to keep playing Hades.
Cause I think partially for Hades, I can tell you exactly why. It's like, they're still giving you story bits and it's like,
I mean, I didn't do it for
and
the
game.
I didn't.
Oh,
I couldn't
I
care less about this.
I was doing it for characters and stories. But also that gameplay is so satisfying.
But it's also just completely random.
And you can choose.
And
well, yeah, the Cold Lamb is random, so it's like, even if you want to do a run, like, I'm not going to get my best weapon. Like, I'm not going to choose the weapon that I want to go with on this run, you know? I might get a shit weapon and be like, okay, why am I doing this?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I guess
what was your favorite weapon?
Axe or hammer?
Yeah, hammer all the time. Hammer time.
People,
I like the axe.
Was
but
it
the hammer?
I think
was,
it was IGN or GameSpot. That
yeah,
was,
somebody didn't like it.
Yeah,
I was like, what?
The slow moving hammer. I was like,
wrong. That's like, the best.
It you destroy things.
You
the ground roll. The ground kicks up.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So that was our thoughts on Cult of the Lamb.
Wait, so did you like it?
I did.
Okay,
I did.
Yeah, I'd recommend it highly.
I think,
but maybe
think
wait a little bit just to get a patch.
The more I think about it, I think about its flaws. Because of how kind of not, it was memorable while I was playing it, but once it was done, kind of like the Adventure Pals a little bit, where it's like, I will play it again, but I don't know, it's a weird game to talk about. I don't know. I guess I was maybe thinking about its negatives too much in the last few days after beating it. But
okay.
If you have your own thoughts on Cult of the Lamb, you can email us at podcastotr@gmail.com. And we're going to be moving on to the weekly trope. So we've reached the weekly trope section of the podcast. This week's trope is art style dissonance. This is what happens when the story or themes behind a cartoon, comic, or such don't match their art style. Or such is going to be video games and movies for us, I'd say. Do you have movies?
Mostly just the video games.
TV shows, I guess. Do you want to start with your list?
Sure, because you sent this to me because we were talking about the drink and doing this at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually came up with two games just off the top of my head, partially because I was playing a game not too long ago that I had immediately had this thought about. It's an older game, and there's a new one in the series that may or may not ever come out, and that's Advance Wars.
There's a Bayonetta.
No, Bayonetta is just a,
yeah.
The thing itself. But yeah, Advance Wars is very cartoony. It's like childlike, but it is about war, and it actually explores some really like dark themes. So it's like this odd thing where it's like
cartoony graphics
about a very serious topic and with a very serious storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that was messed up. And the other thing I thought about just immediately, because I love this game but I have not played the DLC yet, is Cuphead.
Yeah, I forgot about adding Cuphead to it, but as yes,
yeah,
art
it looks
style,
like
not
an
matching how.
Yeah, it's an old timey like cartoon, like you know, 1930s, right? Animation, yeah. And then it's just this super freaking
kicks,
hard
kicks
game.
You in the ass
so freaking much. So those were like the first two games that I thought of. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the list, and I'm just gonna do one more game, which was the Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. Which for the most part is kind of pretty downbeat, but you find out, like, spoiler alert for Wind Waker, I guess. Do you want me to spoil? Do you care?
Not really.
Okay. Well, it's like the area from Ocarina of Time has all been flooded. So it's like the mountains or like the areas that the people live on.
Underneath, everyone's dead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like so. The entire Hyrule has been flooded. And you go into, I think the Temple of Time at the end of Wind Waker, and you fight Ganon there, and it the end of the game. I remember this, like watch my brother play this game and beat the boss. You take the Master Sword and you just stick it straight into his head. Like he does like a jumping like dive and just sticks it right in his head. It's pretty fucking badass. But I was like, oh,
yeah,
especially for like a Zelda game, like Nintendo game.
People had so many issues with that art style, and I think it.
Oh, I thought
it was
great.
Awesome.
Yeah, my brother and I both thought it was like when we was first unveiled, we're like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. And then it was like we saw all these people like writing in Nintendo Power. It's like, where's the adults all now?
But on the surface, it's like, yeah, it does look like baby's first Zelda game.
It does. But I was like, that's a cool look though.
Yeah.
It looked really cool in the screenshots. I did have one movie, and that movie is Sausage Party. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
It's about these grocery items that are all cute and cuddly looking, but it's a movie by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg and those guys, and it's so raunchy. And
it's so fucked.
There is a grocery store like orgy at the end of it. At, like, what a fucking weird movie. So that was like my only movie thing that I immediately thought of.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, that's my list. I'll just keep it short today.
When you said old game, I thought you were going to be talking about Conker's Bad Fur Day.
I thought about that.
I'm a poser because I haven't played it, but I really want to.
You can, in a way.
I mean, I know I can play it on the Retroid, and I think it's on my Retroid.
No, I was going to... Well, that might be a better version, according to some people, but the Rare Replay.
360?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's on the Rare Replay?
Yeah.
The updated 360 version? Because they don't add. I mean, there's not 64 games.
Or, yeah, there is. Well, there's Gemini's on there, and so is
Banjo Kazooie.
But
that's like an updated, right?
Banjo Tooie might not have been updated.
I don't know.
I forget. I think there's two 64 games from them cool. on there. Jet Force Gemini for one.
But yeah, I've been always really curious about it because I've just seen it on.
But yeah, Rare Replay. You should check it out.
Bendy and the Ink Machine. It's kind of a
that's a good one.
A cool. It's same thing with Cuphead in a way, but instead of being just punishing, it's horror.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It's this 40s kind of.
I don't think we were too scared when I was watching you play it.
You weren't too scared. I mean, it's not like terrifying, but it is creepy. Also creepy.
And that's like Hot Topic t-shirt stuff.
Doki Doki Literature Club.
Oh, that's a good one.
As far as
that's actually a very good one.
The art style where you're like, oh, it's so happy. It's so happy. It's like, oh my God, this is horrible. In a weird way, Kane and Bridge of Spirits had a lot of not adult themes, but it got a lot more serious.
I guess there's
when you're not saving these little cute guys. Most of the cutscenes.
I mean,
it's also difficult.
Yeah, and that like whole village got like destroyed. So yeah,
And people losing loved
ones. Very cutesy.
Ones.
Those little like forest spirits.
Rotten.
Yeah, the rotten. They're very cutesy, and you put little hats on them, and then it's like, yeah, game's difficult. And
yeah, this
it's
person
also,
lost
like, dealing
her
a lot
her
about
loved
tragedy
one.
And like despair.
And the first people you deal you help you like when you find out that they're dead, it's like, oh,
I mean. That was still one of my favorite moments of last year was the rain like leading up to that first boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like after beating him too and he like reunites with his brothers. So good.
Yeah.
So good. But yeah, like the graphics don't quite lead you there on that one.
Yeah, it's and like, the music's real happy. It's a crazy dissonance of just everything. And then I have a trio of games that are all they kind of deal with two of them at least with depression, but Chicory, A Colorful Tale, Undertale, and then Celeste. All three games that kind of tackle
Celeste is a good one.
Very adult themes, and they are very cutesy on the outside. Maybe not Undertale as much.
I'd say maybe not Celeste as much, actually.
I mean,
Celeste is like more 8-bit like graphics.
Yeah, it's
the theme, like it doesn't look like it would have themes like it does. I
yeah,
guess. But yes,
yeah,
like
and the fact that she's distance. Yeah, it's and Chicory too. There's
well, Chicory looks very cutesy.
And the stuff that you deal with in that game, because you're basically trying to hunt down the hero of the town, and the hero does not feel like a hero, and it is a crazy game. TV shows and movies and stuff. Happy Tree Friends. I mean,
yeah,
the quintessential.
God, so good.
It's the most violent cartoon ever outside of Invincible, which is also on my list. Invincible, it's the only reason that I have this on my list is because it reminds me so much of the
Justice League?
No, the high school version of X-Men Evolution.
Oh, X-Men Evolution, yeah.
I don't know why it's the art. There's a lot of
they might be trying
like
to do that a little bit. I mean, it does look like his original art, though, from the comics. I don't know.
And I was thinking, okay, cool. It's a teenager superhero, and that's cool. And then the end of that episode is just the most violent thing ever next to Happy Tree Friends. And I'm like, okay, that's what the show is now. Because I had no idea because I didn't read the comics.
They're so good. You should really should.
Andy was reading them on vacation, and he read the volume 3. It looks like a Bible.
Yeah, I want to buy
one. And then it's like there's two more of those Bibles that you have to read through.
But it is a finite comic. They're all on Hoopla and stuff.
Yeah,
like you can sync your library card and read them that way. That's how I did it. And man,
oh,
it's great.
That's cool. Grave of the Fireflies. It's not cutesy, but it's also not. It doesn't look like a. It looks like a kid's show movie, but it's, I don't know. I was just like very thrown off by how much that movie affected me.
Yeah.
But also I saw it when I was younger.
No, it's still effective. Because you and Nathan talked about it a couple of years ago at this point. And so I just bought it off of Amazon.
You just watched it recently?
Yeah.
For the first time?
Yeah, like 4 years ago, five years ago, most. And I was like, basically crying at the end.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't know if the art style dissonance, I'm not sure I agree with that on this one, because it is very specifically like during World War II, and it's not like shying away from that stuff. But
I don't know. I feel like I was just like really thrown off, mostly because of the mindset I was in when I first watched it. But the last one, and it's really just mostly all Don Bluth, but specifically All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Oh, I was going to say.
Anastasia is also pretty dark.
Five-Hole
Goes West.
Well, not the first one, actually, I think.
American Tail?
Yeah.
Tale. Just pretty much all of what he does. But All Dogs Go to Heaven, my mom bought that for the kids at one point or wanted to like show it to them. And it is a kid's movie because it's about dogs and a little girl.
I mean, but we saw
like,
kids. But man, that movie's a little messed up.
It's like the dogs are smoking and drinking, and he gets hit by a car. He dies a couple times. Yes. So it's like
more than a couple times.
It is not a happy-go-lucky kids movie.
And the Iron Giant.
Yeah. Ugh. But I just remember. I think I rewatched that within the last couple of years, and it's like,
I haven't seen this movie.
I should watch that. I remember he has this clock that is signifying like his life.
Yep.
And when it stops ticking, it's like, it's real dark.
Go home and hug my kitty.
That and the look at this. Was it The Secret of Nim too?
Oh, The Secret of Nim is real fucked up.
Yeah.
I watched that not too long ago. That is a messed up movie. I can't believe we watched that as kids.
Yeah.
And they showed that to us in school. And I was like watching this. I was like, I watched this in elementary school. Like at the library. Sometimes it would just be like, here's a movie to watch today.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like you just see you see an old guy get like murdered.
It's like there's murder in that. And like the rats are scared. Oh my God.
Yeah.
What a movie. What a movie.
Oh, and then the cat. Mm-hmm. Tiger? Dragon. With like We're Back, the movie about the dinosaurs.
That comes to life.
That's not Don Bluth, is it?
No.
That's also another one of these animated
movies.
Steven
Spielberg, isn't it? Or maybe he produced it.
Yeah. Well, Don Bluth also did Land Before Time, which it's more
I wouldn't
movie,
count
but
that
it's
necessarily.
It is.
But man,
oof. Sad.
Oof.
Anyway,
That's it.
What a crazy.
We have some thoughts on that one.
Yeah. That'll do it for episode 343 Studios of On the Rocks. Make sure to follow us on Facebook at On the Rocks. We're also on iTunes or On the Rocks Podcast. You can also email us at podcastotr@gmail.com. If you guys have any ideas for future pop culture pairings, as well as questions, thoughts about our show. Upcoming stuff.
Midnight Flight Express,
yeah. And
Madden 23 when I eventually break down and buy it.
Lord of the Rings when I make you watch it. Can we watch an episode tonight? We could potentially. This is Kyle.
This is Dave. And on Nathan.
Oh,
and
he's back.
We're signing off. I've been here the entire time. Then why am I wobbly?
When did that...